Krishna. So I congratulate you all for being here on the auspicious occasion of Balaram Purnima. It is a great fortune to celebrate the appearance of Lord Balaram, because it indicates that one has come to Krishna consciousness, which is the greatest fortune possible for any living entity. Lord Balaram can be seen from different angles of vision. In terms of tattva, or spiritual existence, he is the first expansion of Lord Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the absolute truth is realized in three features: impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Impersonal Brahman is realization of the Sat feature of the Lord, eternity. One knows only that one is not the body, one is Atma, and one is eternal, and one wants to merge into the Supreme Brahman. That's all. More advanced than the Gyanis, who want to realize Brahman, are the yogis, who want to realize Paramatma, the super soul within the heart. And they experience Sat and Chit. Chit means knowledge. They know at least that the individual soul and the supreme soul are eternal, and they have form. The Paramatma has form. But everyone wants bliss, as Srila Prabhupada so nicely explained in yesterday morning's class. Everyone wants happiness. And happiness comes in relationship. And that is possible only with Bhagavan, with Krishna. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada left India, crossed the ocean, and came initially to America to inform us about our eternal, blissful, spiritual relationship with Krishna. In fact, tomorrow is the day on the Vaishnava calendar that we commemorate Srila Prabhupada's leaving India to come to America. And that desire to give us happiness, to give us the possibility for happiness, is what motivated him. Srila Prabhupada was living in Andheri, which is near Juhu, because Srimati Sumati Morarji had offered him a free passage on one of her steamships to come to America. And so he was staying at the Sindhya workers' colony in Andheri. And one of the officers of the company said to Srila Prabhupada, I know why you want to go to America. You want to see the sights and enjoy. That's why everyone from India wants to go to America. Of course, he was joking. And Srila Prabhupada replied, what have I got to enjoy? This life is almost finished. But I know there is a generation of young people who are confused and frustrated, and I want to see that they become happy. So that was his purpose. And the method was to give us Krishna consciousness. Of course, in broad terms, Krishna consciousness could be a synonym for bhakti. And bhakti is both the means and the end. Srimad Bhagavatam says, bhaktya sanjataya bhakti, that bhakti comes from bhakti. And our acharyas have explained, bhakti comes from bhakti means that prema bhakti, the perfection, comes from sadhana bhakti. So bhakti is the means and the end. So when we say that we have come to Krishna consciousness, we have come at least to the practice of sadhana bhakti. And we hope that by diligent practice and divine mercy, we will achieve the goal. So Lord Balaram is considered the original spiritual master. Why? The spiritual master has two functions: to give knowledge of Krishna and to serve Krishna. Naturally, Lord Balaram, being the first expansion of Krishna, would be the first to give knowledge of Krishna. And, well, of course, Krishna himself does. And in one sense, you could say Krishna is the original spiritual master in terms of giving knowledge of Krishna. But Balaram is the first expansion, so he's the first also. But the spiritual master has another function, which is to serve Krishna. In fact, once in Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada asked the devotees, what is the duty of the spiritual master? And different devotees gave different answers, and then finally Srila Prabhupada himself gave the answer. The duty of the spiritual master is to serve Krishna. And the duty of the disciple is to assist the spiritual master. And he gave the example that the spiritual master is responsible for the proper running of the temple. So actually, it's the duty of the spiritual master as service to Krishna to see that the temple is cleaned. Is that it's actually the duty of the spiritual master to wash the floor of the temple. But because it's the duty of the disciples to assist the spiritual master, they will wash the floor of the temple. And the same principle applies to every service, cooking, cleaning, managing, keeping accounts, publishing books, distributing books. Those activities were Srila Prabhupada's service to Krishna, and we are assisting him. So in terms of tattva, Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna, Bhagavan, and he's also the original spiritual master. There's a verse in the Vedas, Balahina, begins without strength, which comes from Balaram, one cannot make spiritual advancement. Now, as the servant of Krishna, Lord Balaram's desire is so strong to serve that he serves him in different relationships. Of course, with the spiritual master, the relationship is servant to master. There could be a touch of reverential friendship, but mainly it is servant to master. But in Vrindavan, there are very wonderful, intimate relationships. Servant, and even in Vrindavan, the relationship of servant is very intimate, and friend, and parent, and even a lover. So Lord Balaram, he serves Krishna as a servant, because he's the first expansion. So naturally, the expansions serve the origin. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that every living entity within existence has the sentiment of service to Krishna. Even Krishna's direct expansions, and Balaram has that mood of wanting to serve Krishna. And it's described that sometimes when Krishna is tired, Balaram will massage his feet. Such a sweet relationship. And friends, as brothers, they enjoy the reciprocation of sakhiras, going out to the pasturing fields with the cows and enjoying playing in the forest of Vrindavan. And because Balaram is the older brother, there's also an element of parental affection. And sometimes Mother Yashoda will tell Balaram, now make sure that Krishna eats his meals in time. So there's that aspect. But Balaram's desire to serve Krishna extends even to Madhurya Ras, the conjugal relationship. But no one can serve Krishna in Madhurya Ras unless he or she has the body of a gopi, the form of a gopi. And therefore, Balaram expanded as Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Srimati Radharani. And thus, as Ananga Manjari, he is able to serve Krishna even in Madhurya Ras. And, of course, their pastimes continue when they go to Mathura and Dwarka. But I thought to focus a little more on Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is the place of the most intimate pastimes and the goal of devotees in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And as I was reading some of the descriptions of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, I thought, as if I was reading it for the first time, I thought, I would really like to go there. It sounds just perfect. And I thought how different companies or different states, they have their travel brochures and books telling you about the features of the place to attract you to come. Of course, generally their motive is to get you to come and spend money. Spend money on your air ticket, spend money on your hotel, spend money in the shops. But in Vrindavan, there's no selfish motive. Everyone just wants to serve Krishna and please Krishna and expand Krishna's pleasure by bringing more people to him. So I will read one section, brief section, from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, about a loving exchange of words between Krishna and Balaram. And it shows the mood which we all can adopt of encouraging each other and appreciating each other in Krishna consciousness. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Krishna and Balaram are walking through the forest of Vrindavan. And they, and Lord Krishna, well, I'll just read it. It's the, read the translation. It's just so nice. Desiring, this is text 2. Desiring to enjoy pastimes, Lord Madhava, sounding his flute, surrounded by cowherd boys who were chanting his glories, and accompanied by Lord Baladev, kept the cows before him and entered the Vrindavan forest, which was full of flowers and rich with nourishment for the animals. The Supreme Personality of Godhead looked over that forest, which resounded with the charming sounds of bees, animals, and birds, and which was enhanced by a lake whose clear water resembled the minds of great souls, and by a breeze carrying the fragrance of 100-petaled lotuses. Seeing all this, Lord Krishna decided to enjoy the auspicious atmosphere. So every aspect of Vrindavan is meant to please the senses of the Lord. And as Srila Prabhupada often said, the servant of the king enjoys almost on the same level as the king. So when we go to Vrindavan, when we are so fortunate to go to Vrindavan, we, as servants of Krishna, or Krishna and Balaram, will enjoy the atmosphere of Vrindavan like Krishna and Balaram with them. So it is mentioned here the sounds of the bees, animals, and birds. So that music, that chirping of the birds and humming of the bees, sometimes when we are in a musical mood, we hum a tune. So the bees also hum. So they also are creating music, the bees, the birds, and the other animals. So that is pleasing to the sense of hearing. And the breezes, which carry moisture from the lake, create a very pleasing sensation on the skin. So that is the sense of touch. And then the beautiful flowers give pleasure to the eyes. Of course, the birds, everything in Vrindavan can actually give pleasure to the eyes. And the fragrance from the flowers, 100-petaled lotus flower and other flowers give pleasure to the nose, the sense of smell. And the acharyas say that that wind which carries the moisture from the lake even gives pleasure to the tongue. It's like a spray. A scented spray. So every sense is satisfied by the Vrindavan atmosphere. The primeval Lord saw that the stately trees, with their beautiful reddish buds and their heavy burden of fruits and flowers, were bending down to touch his feet with the tips of their branches. Thus he smiled gently and addressed his elder brother. Now, this could be a question of vision. For example, the Mahabhagavata, most advanced devotee, he sees that everyone is serving Krishna. But that is a high vision, but it is also true. Because everything that exists is either Krishna or Krishna's energy. And when one serves Krishna's energy, one is also indirectly serving Krishna. So the Mahabhagavata, he sees that everyone is serving Krishna, except himself. But they may not have the consciousness of serving Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that in the prison, the prisoners are also serving the state. Sometimes they're engaged in, you know, breaking stones and laying roads and, you know, doing hard labor. So they're also serving the state, but by force. Whereas the free citizens, they also serve the state, but voluntarily. But they're all serving. By force or by choice, they're serving. So the Mahabhagavata, he doesn't consider the consciousness, he just sees that they're serving. But in Vrindavan, everything has the consciousness of serving Krishna. It's not just the perspective of the viewer, but it's a fact that the trees actually do want to serve Krishna and Balaram. They actually want to bow down to them and offer their fruits to them. And Krishna is seeing that. And in a sort of a light-hearted mood, he addressed his older brother. Text 5. The Supreme Personality of God had said, "O greatest of lords, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal demigods. The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate the dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees." Now, this is also a very subtle description. Actually, the trees in Vrindavan are conscious and full of love for Krishna. They're not in the darkness of ignorance like ordinary trees in the material world. But they feel that they have taken birth as trees because of their offenses. And why do they have that feeling? They have that feeling out of the mood of separation. The mood of separation is central to Krishna consciousness. And in the mood of separation, one feels that because one is so low, he or she has been denied the association of Krishna. And so the trees, they are not able to walk like the cowherd boys and accompany Krishna and Balaram in their excursions in the forest. They have to stand still, waiting for that moment when Krishna and Balaram will come. So they spend a lot of time in separation and considering their plight in separation, they condemn themselves that we're so offensive. We can't be like the cowherd boys and accompany Krishna and Balaram. We are just condemned. But they have that desire to serve. And Lord Krishna, understanding their mentality, because he is an ocean of mercy, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, he's an ocean, Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, he's an ocean of mercy. So he wanted to encourage the trees, and therefore he praised them. He looked lovingly at them, and he praised them to his older brother. And he said, text 6, O original, we already read that about how he praised the trees, that they're offering their fruits and flowers to you and bowing their heads at your lotus feet. Then he speaks about the bees. O original personality, these bees must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours, for they are worshiping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Now, well, we'll get to that, but I'll read it again. They are worshiping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Of course, you could say the path is a holy place, but as our acharyas explain, the glories are a holy place, tirtha. Though you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinless one, they refuse to abandon you, their worshipable Lord. And this is such a nice purport, I will read it. The word gudham is significant in this verse. It indicates that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of Krishna or Balaram appears like an ordinary human being within the material world, great sages always recognize the Lord as the Supreme Absolute Truth. All the transcendental forms of Godhead are eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. Exactly the opposite of our material bodies, which are temporary and full of miseries and ignorance. So, we hear about Krishna and Balaram, And we learn that Krishna's the original personality of Godhead and Balaram is the first expansion. But if they were to disguise themselves as ordinary human beings, we probably wouldn't recognize them. And Muyanti Yat Suraya, even great demigods are illusioned by the appearance of Krishna as an ordinary cowherd boy. And we know from the pastime of Lord Brahma stealing the cows. He couldn't believe that this cowherd was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And same with Indra, when he sent rain to punish the inhabitants of Vrindavan. But Krishna is glorifying the bees, that they know that you, Balaram, are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore they are following you and singing your glories. So the way Krishna is encouraging, of course he's encouraging his older brother Balaram, but he's also encouraging the trees and the bees, because out of love, he sees that they're out of love for them. They're serving him out of love, and he is reciprocating out of love. So we should not consider any service that any living entity renders to be insignificant. This, of course, can happen when we are absorbed in obsession with ourselves, which many of us are for most of the time. That false ego. And Srila Prabhupada told this story about Hanuman and the spider. Now there's a little question here, because the Ramayana speaks about a squirrel. And this is one of the phenomenon of the early days of ISKCON, that the devotees were not used to Srila Prabhupada's accent. And I would say his Indian way of speaking, if you will, was more pronounced when he first came. And they had little, or in most cases, no background in the philosophy or the histories. So it's possible that Srila Prabhupada said squirrel, but they heard spider. And so it was passed around ISKCON, Hanuman and the spider. But that's fine. The purport of the story is the same. And to, out of respect for that, well, we'll be fair to both. But I first heard it as a spider. So Lord Ram had come to the shore of the ocean, and he wanted to cross the ocean to reclaim Sita, who had been kidnapped by Ravana. And so Hanuman and the other monkeys were heaving these huge boulders into the ocean, and the ocean, or you could say Lord Rama's potency, were making the boulders float. And so they were making a bridge. And so Hanuman is like lifting these huge boulders and heaving them into the ocean. And there's this little spider or squirrel flicking grains of sand or dust into the ocean. And so Hanuman chastised that spider and said, what are you doing? You're getting in my way. Can't you see I'm throwing these big boulders into the ocean? And what are you doing? You're just getting in my way. So Lord Ram overheard this talk, and he was not pleased, and he intervened, and he said, Hanuman, you are serving me to your capacity, and this spider is serving me to his or her capacity. So in my eyes, both of your service is equal, because each of you is serving to your capacity. And besides, I'm the one who's making the boulders float. Why are you taking the credit? So he sort of chided him. So this is very important, to appreciate every person's devotion and every person's service, however small we might think it is. And Srila Prabhupada actually exhibited that. I'm sure there are many, many examples, but I'll quote one from Juhu, or the Juhu scheme. But at the time, the devotees were still struggling. Srila Prabhupada was still struggling to get the permission to build the temple in Juhu. And there was no place for Prabhupada to stay on Hare Krishna land in Juhu. And one of Srila Prabhupada's staunch devotees, Grihastha devotees, Mr. Sethi, P.L. Sethi, he was building a house in the Juhu scheme just behind the Hare Krishna land. And he offered Srila Prabhupada that he could stay there. It wasn't fully finished and it wasn't furnished, but it was something. And, you know, so we brought some very basic furniture for Srila Prabhupada, and he was staying there on the second floor. And one morning, Prabhupada was sitting behind his low table speaking to, you know, this important devotees. And a laborer came to the door. And he was recognizable as a laborer because, you know, he was just wearing a little white, like a gamsha, but probably not a gamsha, but just a little white piece of cloth, like a short dhoti or lungi. And you could see he was very muscular from labor and had a sort of dark complexion. And somehow he came in the house and walked upstairs and came to the door of Srila Prabhupada's room. And everyone looked at him, and we didn't know what was going to happen. And he walked up to Prabhupada's desk, and he placed a bunch of flowers on the table and bowed his head down and walked out. And Srila Prabhupada was so moved by that. He was actually choked up. He could not, he couldn't speak, you know. He's having an important discussion with some leaders. He couldn't speak. And he quoted this verse, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhakta Prayachiti. And he said that He said, who is this person? We don't know who is this person. How did he know I was here? How did he know where to find me? How did he get the idea to pick those flowers, and where did he find those flowers? And Prabhupada was just so struck by that simple laborer's act of devotion. And then he said, I'm just an ordinary living being. So I'm overwhelmed by this devotion. And Krishna is so great, even he is overwhelmed by a simple act of devotion of offering a leaf or a flower. So that is the Lord's nature, the Lord and the pure devotee. Well, all of us are meant to appreciate any little act of service. So Krishna's glorifying the trees, now he's glorifying the bees. Now, coming back to the word tirtha, one meaning of the word tirtha is, quote, the means for crossing beyond material existence, end quote. Simply by hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord or by chanting them, one immediately comes to the spiritual platform beyond material existence. Thus, the Lord's transcendental glories are here described as a tirtha for everyone in the world. So we experience this too. When there's some talk of Krishna, we forget hunger and thirst. His Holiness Krishnadas Swami, who's, I don't even know how old he is, he's a very elderly Indian preacher, sannyasi, but he's quite sick. But when he speaks about Krishna, something takes over him. It's like he doesn't feel his age or his infirmity, but he's just so powerful. And not that this is just to illustrate the point, not about me, but I have like various deities in my temple room in Santa Barbara. And sometimes people come at somewhat odd hours. And, you know, I might not feel, that energetic. But I feel, you know, they've come, at least I should introduce them to the deities. And as soon as I start speaking about the deities, I say, okay, well, there's so many deities, I'll just speak about one. Oh, well, I'll tell you about that one. And, you know, pretty soon, a half hour has passed, and I didn't even notice it. I'm sure we all experience that. And that's because Krishna Katha elevates us to a different platform. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that when one hears the nectar of Krishna Katha from pure devotees, one becomes free from hunger, thirst, and lamentation. Then Gayanti. The word Gayanti indicates that great sages give up their vows of silence and other selfish processes to glorify the activities of the Supreme Lord. So this is also very much Prabhupada's mood, and Prahlad Maharaj's mood. Naivo dvijay paradarat jaya vaitaranyas. And he mentions that monim charanti, that generally saintly people avoid the towns and cities and wander in the forests and mountains, observing vows of silence. But Prahlad Maharaj says, I am not like them. I do not want to go back home, back to Godhead alone, but I want to bring as many of these fools and rascals, Vimudan, with me. And that was Prahlad's mood, that was Srila Prabhupada's mood. And therefore, he left Vrindavan, the beautiful, enchanted land of Vrindavan, and came to New York City, and Boston, and San Francisco, and Los Angeles, and major cities all over the world. So that vow of silence is considered a selfish desire. So Lord Krishna, using the example of the bees, is saying that they're like great sages who've given up their vow of silence and are following you, Balaram, chanting your glories. And so, yes, that's our position. That's our life. Yeah, that one... once I went to Bombay City from Juhu, and I came back, and I was, you know, like quite enlivened and enthusiastic from the trip, and I said, you know, and Srila Prabhupada, like, how was the preaching? And so I said, Srila Prabhupada, I like this preaching. And Prabhupada, not I like this preaching. This preaching is my life. So it's not something we like, oh, I like Rasgulla, but it's our life. That's our life. So the word Gayanta indicates that great sages give up their vows of silence and other selfish processes to glorify the activities of the Supreme Lord. Real silence means to not speak nonsense, to limit one's verbal activities to those sounds, statements, and discussions relevant to the loving service of the Supreme Lord. So this, we should be aware of this. We should avoid prajalpa, one of the six items that destroys bhakti. And we should also be sensitive to time and place, even in Krishna Katha. His Holiness Ratatvaja Swami has been staying with me for about, 2 months. And so we like to chant japa together. Actually, the more the merrier. So sometimes he'll like want to say something to me, and I'm pretty sure it's not prajalpa, it's Krishna conscious, but it's our time for japa. So when he has that urge, he sort of preaches to himself, and he immediately quotes the verse, Vacho Vega Manasa Krodha Vega. Like, okay, gotta control this Vacho Vega and not disturb Maharaj. Sometimes, if it's really necessary, he does, and he says, forgive me for being a japa terrorist. disturbing your japa. So, yes, real silence means to not speak nonsense, to limit one's verbal activities to those sounds, statements, and discussions relevant to the loving service of the Supreme Lord. Now, this next verse is very important and significant. The word anaga, do any scholars know what the literal meaning of anaga means? It means sinless. Aga means sin, like agasura, I think. Aga means sin, and anaga means sinless. The word anaga indicates that the Supreme Lord never performs sinful or offensive activities. Like that's in Ishopanishad, apapavidam, he's sinless. Now here, the word also indicates that the Lord immediately excuses a sin or offense committed by a sincere, loving devotee who may accidentally deviate from the Lord's service. So this, you see the contrast that he, the Lord, Krishna, if there's even a slight service performed, or even a slight desire to render service, he makes a big thing out of it. And if someone accidentally, a devotee, accidentally commits a sin, he makes light of it. So, of course, when one is in a position of management, one has to maintain discipline. And therefore, different qualities mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita pertain especially to people in different positions in Varnashram. Like one of the first qualities of a Brahmin, in fact, it's said to be the quality that beautifies a Brahmin, is the quality of forgiveness. But Srila Prabhupada said a Kshatriya cannot forgive. Because if he were to forgive all the miscreants, they would take advantage of it and create havoc. So there may have to be some adjustment but the inner heart of Krishna and of the devotee is to magnify the good in a devotee, and take little account of an accidental deviation. Now, in the specific context of this verse, the word anaga indicates that Lord Balaram was not disturbed by the bees who were constantly following him, anupatam. Like, you know, if ordinary bees were to hover around us, we'd probably get pretty, pretty disturbed. So here, Lord Krishna's saying to Lord, calling Lord Balaram anaga, sinless, meaning that he doesn't take offense that these bees are humming around and hovering around and humming. The Lord blessed them by saying, O bees, come into my confidential grove and feel free to taste its fragrance. So instead of feeling bothered or disturbed or annoyed, he welcomed them. Please, please come, please come. Enjoy the fragrance of my garden. And Srila Prabhupada was like that. I mean, he really did tolerate a lot, but he just, I don't know, he just discounted our disturbing natures and welcomed us. Come to my garden. Come to ISKCON. Come to Goloka Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Vijay. Prabhu. Yeah, it's a good question. Yes, generally, the question is that I said, quoting Srila Prabhupada, that Brahmins forgive, but Kshatriyas cannot forgive. Otherwise, miscreants will take advantage. But Vijay Prabhu said that Parikshit Maharaj, although he was ready to kill the personality of Kali for torturing a cow, forgave him. He didn't kill him. And in a way that's true, but there is another principle here, a Kshatriya principle, that if someone surrenders, you don't kill him, but you give him protection. And that principle is there when we surrender to Krishna. Sarva dharman prityaja mame kam saranam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayisyami ma sucha. If you surrender to Krishna, he you could say accepts your sinful reactions, or he frees you from your sinful reactions. And the spiritual master on behalf of Krishna performs that function. So he surrendered, and therefore Maharaj Parikshit spared him. And an acharya, he has to do both. Forgive when appropriate and discipline when appropriate. So there was an incident in Vrindavan when a man stole from the temple and the devotees caught him and they were going to hand him over to the police. And he said that, you know, he said he wanted to see Prabhupada. And he said, all right. So the man surrendered to Prabhupada. He said, I'm surrendering. Don't give me to the police. I'm surrendering. So Prabhupada said, all right. Then you live in the ashram. You follow all the regulative principles. You chant the holy name, you do service in the temple, and we won't prosecute you. So, okay. So he was living in the temple and following all the principles and practices of devotees. And then, one morning after a few weeks or however long it was, the devotees found him trying to abscond. He was trying to sneak out. So the devotees caught him and brought him before Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, "You came to me and surrendered, and so I forgave you. I protected you. But now you're going back on your surrender." So then he told the devotees, "Okay, now hand him over to the police." So there's a lot of subtleties and intricacies. And it's sort of like that with Krishna. We've been in Maya, we've engaged in sinful activities, we surrender to Krishna, and he gives us protection, even from sinful reactions. But then if we leave Krishna, of course that's a little subtle point, because Krishna doesn't let us go, because we did do some service. But in a way, when we leave Krishna, then we're on our own again. But not really, because Krishna never lets us go. Yes, Satchitanoy. Yes, yes, yes. What's the question? What's the highest service?
Which is the highest service? Among all the services we render to Krishna, which is the highest service?
Satchitanoy is asking, of all the services we render to Krishna, which is the highest? Well, I guess you could say the highest is the one offered with the most love, or the highest love, but there are many answers to this question. But what you said is true. We shouldn't feel that we're rendering the highest service, so we're better than others. And it did happen like that, apparently, in Atlanta. One of the Sankirtan devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, "What's the highest service?" And maybe thinking, as they tell the story, that Prabhupada would say, you know, book distribution. And Prabhupada replied, "If you love Krishna." But even among those who love Krishna, one can, from a certain perspective, make distinctions. And so, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Ramya kachit upasana vrajavadu vargena yakalpita," that of all types of worship of Krishna, the method of the gopis is the highest. But then if you expand that, what is their mood? Their mood is to bring other gopis to Krishna. They don't want to enjoy with Krishna directly. They want to bring other gopis to Krishna to increase Krishna's pleasure. And therefore, the mood of the preacher to bring others to Krishna, to increase Krishna's pleasure by bringing more souls to him, one could say that is the highest. But it's all, you know, it's all accepted by Krishna on the absolute platform, and it all contributes. It all contributes. You know, I've heard stories about the wonderful early days in the Los Angeles temple, how the devotees would go out and do Sankirtan and want to bring people back to the temple, and how the pujaris were thinking, oh, they wanted to serve the deities very nicely and decorate the deities very gorgeously. So the Sankirtan devotees would get inspired. And then when they came back with new people, the new people would be enchanted by the sight of the deities. So it wasn't separate. Nothing was separate. The cooking, the prasad, you know, an army runs on its stomach, you know, that's make nice prasad for the Lord and to encourage the devotees. So they're enlivened in their service. So as long as it's really a matter of consciousness, everything about ISKCON, the way Srila Prabhupada established it, it's all meant to bring others to Krishna, to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. So any service, you know, cleaning the temple, decorating the deities, keeping the accounts, cooking the offering, it's all meant to contribute to the same goal. So it's all one on the absolute platform. All right, thank you all very much. Today is, the whole day is Lord Balaram's appearance day, so there will be another program in the afternoon with the procession and fire yoga and abhishek and then a talk and then, well, there will be a feast. And there's an engagement ceremony. It's like so many, many wonderful activities today and every day in New Dwarka Dham. Hare Krishna.